You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, diligent dynamite denizens of the digital dome. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 191, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your smorgasbord of smashing, smitten, smoking, smiling, smarty pants.
Yeah, I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
And Colin is in the woods.
Rare occasion where he is out. When he's not here.
When he's not on the show, but he hikes all the time.
He's camping in Utah.
He's pooping in a bag.
He's pooping in holes.
He's making a cat hole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
I actually don't want to think about Colin pooping too hard.
Well, we miss you, Colin. He's actually coming back in like a couple days. So we'll see him soon.
Listeners, as you may know, we are very, very close to the launch of Good Job Brain, the book. Who knows? It might be available on Amazon as you're listening to this. So run, don't walk
to your computer.
Yes. And order the Good Job Brain book from Ulysses Press.
And also, I didn't know you found it, Chris, that there was like an Amazon Hot Charts for quizzes.
At one point, we were number one in
quizzes.
Hobbies.
Quizzes. Or trivia.
Quizzes, trivia, something.
Like new
releases. We were outstanding in our field. We were number one in our category. And that is all thanks to you guys pre-ordering, sight unseen, the Get Your Brain book. But now you can go and check it out. And Karen did the layout. Well, Karen and Dana, you and Colin also all banded together to do the layout of the book, the design of the pages.
A real long weekend.
Very elegant. Yes. And now we can find out what is inside said book also. Yeah. And you can decide for yourself if you want to spend your hard-earned money, which I think you should.
Well, I mentioned the Amazon hot releases thing because we surpassed Naughty Dots.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the sexy Connect the Dots book.
We outsold the sexy Connect the Dots book. You can look inside that book, too.
You can.
I think it's more importantly, we learned about the sexy Connect the Dots book because of the chart.
Because we were outselling it. Yeah, for sure.
Naughty Dots.
Also, additionally, this wasn't all supposed to happen all at the same time, but it did. Huh. My book, my old book from 2004, which is called Power Up. It's about Japanese video games.
Yeah.
Might also be out by the time you read this, coming out October 19. I think enough people have ordered both of these books that if you go to the
Amazon
page.
Frequently
bought together. The Good Job Brain book and Power Up.
Can I tell you a story about your book?
Maybe.
So I had a coworker and I was like, oh, I'm going to go play trivia. And I mentioned I play with Chris. He's like, Chris Kohler. Chris Kohler of the Power Up book.
Oh, really?
I love that book. I have that book. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I think he wrote a book.
Sure, why not? I don't ask him too many questions about his life.
We don't talk about business while we're playing trivia.
Exactly,
we gotta focus. But that was that Chris Kohler who wrote that book.
Turns out,
people are into it. It's a good book to read.
Well, it's just exciting. Again, as I said, I wrote it in 2004, and it went out of print in 2004. So it's nice to have it back again. It's tough here. It's nice to like actually have it back for people to be able to purchase it again.
I recommend the Chris Kohler experience. Yeah.
Chris Kohler is coming to your town. Find out when.
Sunday.
Paid for the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
That's good. I've never heard that one before.
All right. With that all said, let's jump into our first general trivia segment. Pop quiz. Hot shot. So here I have a random Trivial Pursuit card drawn from the box. And this is Trivial Pursuit, just normal edition.
Oh, okay.
Copyright 2009. So we know it's not that old.
Okay.
And you guys have your barnyard buzzers, and let's answer some questions, Chris versus Dana.
All right. These all read
like Colin questions, and he's not here, so.
Oh, no. We got to try to channel Colin.
All right.
Sports.
Here we go. Blue Wedge for People and Places.
Okay.
What sticky dish did Harvard's most famous theatrical society take its name from?
Oh.
Chris.
I believe it's figgy pudding.
Incorrect. Dana, do you have another guess?
Now I'm like sticky pudding. Something pudding. Figgy. No. Toffee pudding. Yeah, yeah.
Wait. It's the
hasty pudding.
Yes,
that's hasty it. Pudding. That's
yeah.
it.
Dan's hasty got, yeah, pudding. Hasty pudding. It is something pudding, yeah. All right, pink wads for pop culture. Who is Spicoli's nemesis in Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Oh, if only I'd seen that movie.
Jeff Spicoli, Sean Penn, famously.
Pac-Man.
Phoebe Cates.
Ooh.
She's in it.
Ooh. She's in it.
I don't know. Who is it?
Oh, okay, this kind of makes sense, I guess. Oh. The answer is Mr. Hand. Which is his teacher?
Oh, okay. Right. Thought it was the off-color joke.
Yeah.
No, right, yeah.
Yeah. Yellow Wedge. What two states include land purchased from Mexico in the 1854 Gadsden Purchase?
Gadsden.
Gadsden.
Oh.
Okay. DSD.
Land purchased from Mexico.
Yes.
New Mexico and Arizona.
Correct!
Nice.
Did you know that, or did you just guess?
I feel like that was in the punch bowl, as they say.
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't Texas, because we just took that. We were just like, this is ours now. Go away, Mexico.
California was like a sneaky kind of takeover. Right.
Yeah.
So this was actually legitimately...
Gadsden Purchase.
G-A-D-S-D-E-N.
Gadsden.
Yeah.
Gadsden.
D-S-D. That's such a... Purple Wedge. What book, besides the Bible, are you likely to find in your Marriott hotel room? That is not in room dining. Chris.
Oh. It.
Mary.
You buzzed.
I did buzz. Is it like the book that's by Conrad Hilton? Or.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No, it's not. That's not it.
Data. Yellow Pages?
Book of Mormon.
Oh, really?
Yes. Founder John Willard Marriott was a devout member of the church.
I've stayed at Marriott before. I don't think I've ever seen the Book of Mormon.
Did you open all the drawers?
Yes, I always. I mean, don't you guys open the drawers just to see what's in there? Okay.
No.
I don't put my clothes in there. That's a good way to forget them.
Oh, it is.
All right. Green Wedge. These words are used to describe shapes of what natural item? Elliptic, lance, palmate, spear, or trifoliate?
Leaves.
Correct.
Yeah.
I now think this isn't a recycled card.
No.
But I think this is a duplicate card.
Oh,
I
really?
I feel like I've read that question
before.
We're
in too deep. We're just going to have to go for it.
We keep getting recycled questions out.
That's how randomness works.
Well, I mean, because we have like 10 different versions of Trivial Pursuit cards in the box. And, you know, I guess no one's ever checked each one of them.
There's some overlap.
Unless we want to go back to the, Baby Boomer 2 rejected questions edition.
Yeah, okay.
We're stuck with this.
All right.
There's only so much knowledge. There's only so many things.
Yeah.
Okay. Orange Wedge, what car maker made the Aspire, Probe, and Tempo?
Oh. Is it Ford?
Correct. It is Ford. Wow. Good job.
I feel like somebody was giving away a Ford Tempo on a game show.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that sounded...
Ford Probe, Ford Tempo. Yeah, okay.
Like a American Idol or something. Mm.
Maybe. All right. Good job, brains.
Yeah.
Yeah, not bad.
So this episode... We're recording in what we call San Francisco summer.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's been way hot, even for San Francisco.
It got like the hottest it gets here.
But guess what? It's actually the autumn and the fall, despite that freak weather that we have here. Everywhere else, it's autumn. And we thought we'd welcome the new seasons with a nice fall seasonal episode dedicated to things that are... Nice and autumn-like.
Or like pagan creatures.
Yes.
Sprites.
Yeah.
Dancing with leaves.
To greet the harvest.
Singing songs and hymns.
We frolic. Yeah.
So this week, we're fallen and we can't get up.
Yes, that's right. It is, in fact, the autumn or the fall. Actually, it used to have three names. You know, this
what?
This is the weird season where some people say autumn, some people say fall.
Yeah.
Actually, centuries ago, people would have said harvest. They would have called it like spring, summer,
harvest.
Winter, repeat. Yeah.
They cared a lot about farming.
Apparently, it's right. And as people started to care less about farming, it sort of seemed weird to be like living in a city and be like, oh, it's harvest. So,
what are you harvesting? What are you doing?
Yeah. And autumn, you might be wondering, is from the Latin word autumnus, which means autumn. I really wanted to find out what autumn meant. And as it turns out, it's such a basic concept that there is no like
it's deeper, not referring
it's
to
like
anything.
It's probably from ancient Etruscan from a word that meant
autumn?
Like you know what we're talking about.
But we often say fall, which again is also an old word that people used to use, and we understand why we say fall. It's because it's when the leaves fall off the trees. I mean, that's Karen, get out of here with your I didn't know that.
Her eyes are so big.
I didn't know that.
No.
I thought it was like, I mean, on a meta sense, it's changing from summer to winter. And it's like, the season is falling into the like, coldness, but not like, but not literally leaves falling.
Falling off the trees.
Oh my, no.
Yeah, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Why don't I learn these things? I don't know.
It's like summer's the peak, and then the fall.
Blame the teachers. Nobody sat you down.
It's more poetic, maybe.
I guess so.
Musical.
Well, let me surprise you some more, Karen.
Okay.
And maybe even you, Dana.
Okay.
Maybe you don't even know this.
We'll
fall is actually a misnomer. Because, what we think happens to leaves. It's like, the weather gets cold, the weather gets dry, the nights get shorter, the leaves, they turn brittle, and then they're all brittle, you know, because there's no moisture or whatever, dryness, they die and they fall off. Because they're like, I can't hang on anymore. Mm-hmm. No, not true, 100% wrong. It looks like a suicide, but it's murder. Those leaves did not fall. Those leaves were pushed.
What?
What?
So, trees.
Yeah.
It was an inside job.
It was an inside job. Trees, if you ever consumed any high fantasy media whatsoever, you know that trees know everything.
Yes.
They
trap wise old, you know, mages.
Precisely.
Precisely. Okay.
So real life trees, maybe they don't know everything, but they do know some things. They know how long the days are.
Okay.
They know how cold it is. And when they feel it coming up on winter and they're like, oh, the days are not so long anymore. The nights are getting colder. They know that they need to reserve their resources or they're going to die because the water in the ground is going to freeze. They're not going to be able to pull up the water into their roots because the water is frozen. They need to hold on to the water that they have or they're going to die. So the first thing they do is, well, we've got all these leaves on these trees. These leaves are exchanging moisture. Moisture is going in and moisture is coming out.
Yeah.
They need to shut that off.
Okay.
So first they suck all the goodness out of the leaves. They're kind of, you know, everything comes back in. All the moisture comes in.
Oh my God.
Right?
It's like a vampire.
That's cooler. Well, I like this story.
It's all got to come back inside, right? They also then stop making chlorophyll.
Yeah.
Because they were making chlorophyll, which was that super green stuff plants make, photosynthesis, all that good stuff, turning light into sugar, turning sugar into tree, you know. They stop making that because they're not going to be doing any photosynthesizing. They're just going to be like saving energy. So they stop making the chlorophyll. When the chlorophyll goes away, we now see what the leaf would be colored like
without
the chlorophyll.
Naked leaf?
So that is half the story. This is very important.
Okay.
There's the chlorophyll. This is what gives the leaf its like green color in the first place. This goes away. We see things that were already in the leaves, which are called carotenoids, as in carrots.
Carrots.
Okay. As in yellow, as in orange. It's the stuff, same stuff that's in corn and carrots and bananas.
Carotenoids.
Carotenoids.
Okay.
Carotenoids, carotenoids.
Something.
What have you, tomato, tomato.
Yeah.
But then also, the tree starts manufacturing what are called anthocyanins. These are things that you find in cranberries, apples, red grapes, blueberries. And these are These are the things when you see leaves that are red and purple, that's what you get.
Oh, so okay. It's
not entirely the case that we're talking about the chlorophyll goes away and this is what's left.
Because the tree is providing
some more stuff.
It's half and half.
Okay.
Got it.
Yep. So that is why leaves change color.
Okay.
The chlorophyll goes away and some other stuff goes in. So anyway, I promised you a murder story. When the tree notices that the nights are starting to get longer, you have your leaf, you have your stem. The leaf is there, the stem is there, and there is a division between those two things at the cellular level. It knows where the leaf is, and it knows where the stem is.
Yeah.
Between these two, the leaf and the stem, the tree starts to develop long, thin cells that go perpendicular, kind of slashing between the stem and the leaf. They start like dividing and it builds up this layer of really like many, many, many really weak cells. These are called abscission cells.
Whoa.
As in abscission, as in scissors.
Yeah.
Same root. And the point of these is to do about 99% of the work of slicing the leaf off of the tree.
They need that leaf
to be gone, because if that leaf were to stay there, they would still die, because that leaf is a weak point. So they cut it off. And then when the breeze comes along, the tree has weakened that division very purposefully so that it will fall off.
Okay.
And then at the same time, it's actually creating scar tissue on the stem where the leaf was to seal up
to protect the hole.
And that's already done kind of by the time the leaf comes off. But the tree is creating and these like
gives itself a haircut.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
Yep. So it's deliberately chopping the leaves off by dividing these a whole bunch of really weak cells.
Okay.
Yep.
Real life is intense.
It is.
You think about like beautiful, you're like, oh, seasons change, all these dry leaves just kind of floating around. You're like, nope, murder.
It's like a space shuttle. I kept imagining like, you know, when it goes up and this is somebody's gonna actually this, but this is in my mind, this is how space shuttles work. It like goes. It's not right. And it goes into the stratosphere, and then they like blast the gas one off, the energy one comes up. They're like, I don't need this anymore. Right, it's holding me back. Right. This is like my understanding
of how. I think that's how space shuttles work, although I don't think it's relevant.
But like with the leef, it's like, oh, I was getting energy from this. This is the chlorophyll.
Now
and
now it's done.
Now it's just dead weight.
It's a burden.
Get this off.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I have a quiz for you guys. And since there's just the three of us, I'm going to do a write-in quiz. So you both have a pad of paper and a pen. All right. So you guys are going to write in your answers.
Do we get extra points for drawing pictures like last time?
Yes.
Okay.
Ooh.
I'm not keeping score, but yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, unless you want score.
We'll keep our own score.
Okay. All right.
Honor code. I mean, okay. Let's take a picture at the end and post it somewhere.
Okay.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. We'll kick it off with a leaf-related question. What two-word phrase is used in New England to describe the activity in which people travel to view and photograph the fall foliage? It's a two-word phrase. And this happens particularly in New England and areas where the foliage changes color.
That's not fair.
It's an unfair question.
But it's a leaf question.
Yeah.
It I've seen it on TV before. I watch a lot of TV, though. But it comes up sometimes.
To watch it. Activity is called this.
Yep. So Chris says leaf peeping, and Karen says leaf spotting. It's leaf peeping.
That sounds so creepy.
It does.
Doesn't it?
I was going to tell you, I was like, oh, you're so close, Karen. You should just go creepier with the second word. Leaf peeping is what it's called.
Okay.
All right.
Leaf peeping, not peeing.
All right, next question. There are three federal holidays, U.S. federal holidays, in autumn. What are they?
And that's September. That's September to November.
To early December.
Did one happen already?
Three federal ones.
Oh, man.
From September to early December.
From, yeah, roughly. I'll give you roughly, more details. Roughly. Yeah.
In fall.
Yeah, in the fall.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Chris has Thanksgiving, Veterans Day, Columbus Day. Karen has Columbus Day, Veterans Day. Yes.
Question mark.
It is
Thanksgiving.
You forgot the easiest one?
Yeah. I didn't know that was federal. I thought that was Christmas federal?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So which became federal law first?
Out of the three?
No, here you go. Is it that Columbus Day always happens on the second Monday in October? Or that Thanksgiving is always on the fourth Thursday of November? Which one became law first?
I didn't even know that was the rule for Columbus Day.
That is the rule. Second Monday in October.
Okay. And the Thanksgiving is always on the 24th?
It's on the fourth Thursday of November.
Oh. This is a gamble.
That's okay. Yep.
Ha ha ha.
So you both said Columbus Day. It is actually Thanksgiving.
Oh.
It is. So they're both super old holidays. They're both super old holidays. Almost FDR made Thanksgiving the fourth Thursday in November. We've talked about this before. He made it that one because he was trying to get people to shop for Christmas a little bit earlier to get people out of the Depression.
Oh.
And then LBJ made Columbus Day the second Monday in October in the 70s in order to standardize Monday holidays.
Oh,
it was
okay.
just part of a bill package.
It was just convenient.
It was convenient.
Yeah.
But they actually both started being celebrated federally right around the same time. Huh. It was just when did it become an official thing?
Oh, it was marketing.
It was marketing,
yes. It was marketing. It's always marketing.
Okay, one more Columbus Day question. It's on the same day as what Canadian holiday?
Ooh.
This Canadian holiday is always on the same day as Columbus Day.
Huh.
But the Canadian one came first.
Chris is going to write a joke answer. Are you writing a joke answer or a real answer?
I don't know.
I see no pictures on anybody's thing. Oh, no, Chris had some pictures. You both got it. Canadian Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which Canadians know as
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah. What is the name of the festival in China that celebrates the fall? Karen's writing a lot.
I'm drawing a picture too. All right. You got a New England, I got a Chinese question.
Gotta even it up.
Yeah. What'd you draw?
I said I protest this biased question and then drew myself standing in front of a tank. It is a political cartoon because the person is labeled me and the tank is labeled this question.
How soon we forget about leaf peeping.
Wow, that's a good
that was very political.
Tiananmen Square.
I'm sorry for oppressing you and really putting you under.
An onion. Really? It's just layers and layers just, of depth in that one cartoon.
Thank you.
The world watches as I crush you under
the oppressive yoke
of Dana's
of your biased question.
Yeah.
Hearing from my lawyer.
Karen put Lunar Festival, and she drew a beautiful picture.
Oh, she even drew the official food
mooncake.
Stuff. Yeah.
Of a mooncake. Yes.
Is it? Am I right?
Yeah,
oh,
totally.
Okay.
What was what's in the filling of your mooncake? What did you draw?
Well, the classic filling is red bean, which is like a dark brown. And they actually, you talk about yolk, they actually put a salted yolk in the middle of the mooncake. So when you cut it in half, mm-hmm. it looks like it's the night sky with the moon.
Oh, that's cool.
It's pretty good.
That. Yeah.
It's pretty tasty. And the other food we also eat is, on the show, we always get the pronunciations one way or the other. Pomelo or pomelo?
I think it's pomelo.
I thought it was pomelo and someone said pomelo. But anyways, pomelo. You eat pomelos too. And then you like peel them in a way and you kind of make a hat out of the rind and all the kids wear that.
What? That's the tradition.
That's the tradition.
Okay.
No, I'm serious.
It's like the Godfather. You put it in your mouth and chase people around. Okay. You put it on your animals as well.
You can.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like you've seen the cat with the pomelo on their head.
Yeah, is that what that is?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's for the moon festival.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And your farts are weird.
The beans and pomelo get you. All right, just two more questions. What's the name of the full moon which occurs closest to the autumnal equinox?
Autumnal equinox. Yes. Oh, man.
And I can give you a hint if you want. Do you want a hint?
Nope.
Nope.
Okay.
I don't know this, but I'm going by video games.
Yes. You both put Harvest Moon. Chris put Harvest Moon 64. My hint was going to be it's the name of a video game as well. Yes. All right. Last autumnal question. What do Sarah Grun's Water for Elephants, Aaron Morgenstern's The Night Circus, Hugh Howey's Wool, and Marissa Meyer's Cinder have in common? What do they all have in common? And it's autumn related.
Huh. Well, Water for Elephants is that book about the circus. And then you had another
had
circus
Robert Pattinson
book.
In it.
Reese Witherspoon. Yeah. And Christoph Waltz. What were they all?
And it's related to the season.
Marissa Meyer?
Yeah.
What do all those books have in common?
Answer is up. Karen, what did you write?
Oh!
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea.
There are movies based on books that came out during Thanksgiving weekend.
No, and Chris wrote...
They all take place on Halloween.
No.
What is it?
They are traditionally published books that were written during NaNoWriMo, which is National... National Novel Writing Month, which happens every November since 1995.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, wait, all those people finished the books in 1 month?
Yes.
Wow.
At least the first draft. And then they got them published and they became big hits. Wow.
So, what's your score?
Oh, good question.
I had like 4 points.
Okay. I scored 1,000 points.
Oh, I mean, self-scoring.
Right, we're self-scoring.
Yeah. All right. So Chris wins.
Good job for me.
Good job.
Wow. Yeah. 996 more points.
Somehow you were able to overcome that oppressive question.
Rose up.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I just came back from Paris.
Or
like the suburbs of Paris. I was a... in Disneyland, which is not technically in Paris City, but out in the boonies of Paris.
Zero Disney.
And not called that anymore.
What are they
officially called?
Disneyland
Paris. Not Euro Disney. And there are some parts of the
Euro
park
Disney
where
doesn't have a good connotation anymore, right?
Yeah.
Like,
people didn't like it. Like, it didn't work yet.
So I was there for the inaugural Disneyland Paris half marathon, and that was fun. And I met a lot of other runners. And a lot of people prior to this weekend stopped over at Germany for a little seasonal fun known as Oktoberfest. Mm. The Oktoberfest.
Right.
The official one. And so here I have a quiz of more things that might show up on Pub Quiz about Oktoberfest. I actually found it was pretty fun. And you guys have your pads of paper. Let's do a write-in again. Listeners, you can write down your answers too, or can yell it out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So here we go. In what month does Oktoberfest start? In what month does Oktoberfest start?
Mm-hmm.
Dana says September. Chris says September. Yes, it is September. Does not happen in October. Happens in September technically, and the name is misleading because it's actually most of the festival happens in September.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Oktoberfest is a celebration of beer, but mostly culturally Bavarian traditions. So actually all the beer at Oktoberfest, at this beer festival, has like there's laws or there's rules about the beers that you drink. Yeah. They have to be brewed within the city limits of Munich. Like, you cannot have beers from other areas or even in Germany outside of the borders of the Bavaria state. So Bavaria is a state. Munich is a city in the Bavaria state. Mm-hmm. Only Bavarian beers allowed. For what purpose was the first Oktoberfest held? What was the reason? What was the reason why they had this massive beer festival?
I mean, do you need a reason for a party? I guess maybe. Maybe you do.
You do need a reason. What is the reason? Historically, is it to celebrate something or mourning something or marketing? All right. Answers up. Chris says, pretending?
No.
Oh, determine beer. I can't read your handwriting.
I said to determine the best beer in Munich.
Oh, okay. Okay, like a competition.
Sure.
And I said it's a unification or liberation celebration.
That wow.
Wow, that rhymed.
It does. Oh, it rhymed. It's also two answers.
It's probably wrong. It's also I was like, it's something, answers. A political celebration
sure,
of some sort.
Sure.
First Oktoberfest was held to honor the marriage of Prince Ludwig and Princess Therese.
That was...
That's a unification
that
celebration.
That is, yes, technically. That's a point.
1810, it was for a wedding.
Oh.
Oktoberfest, what a nice wedding to get everybody all partied up.
Nice.
And you guys have to look at me for this next question.
Okay.
And I'll explain to you listeners. What, quote, air quote, celebrity is permanently banned from Oktoberfest?
What air quote celebrity?
What celebrity?
And we have to look at
is
you.
Oh, no. I mean, like, I look at me because I make quotes.
Oh, I was like, air it's quotes. Some a rabbit of some
mean,
sort.
Is this a real person? Or is
it
this...
is a real celebrity. It is a real famous
real,
person.
A real life human being. Okay. Yeah. All right. It's not Spuds McKenzie.
No. Right. It's a
Yeah.
That'd be cute. Though.
Oh, man. Yeah, okay. Are there any hints?
The hint is it's a she.
Okay.
Okay.
And she was there to promote canned wine.
And they banned her?
They
for
banned
this
her.
Sacrilege?
Just overall.
Oh, wow.
Just overall.
Okay. Huh. All right. She was there to promote canned wine. Always a good idea.
Yeah.
And is now banned.
Oh, she's been a little past her prime.
Quote unquote celebrity. Oh, and she's past her prime.
Kind of past her fame prime.
Okay.
For more hints,
sure,
this
yeah.
beverage, this canned, it's for canned sparkling Prosecco, which is Italian, by the way.
Yeah.
Called Rich.
Okay.
All right. Answers. There's a lot of hints. You got to get this, Chris.
Oh, I hope I got it.
I don't have to get it.
Dana says Paris Hilton. Chris says Paris Hilton. It is Paris Hilton.
Wow. Great.
2006.
What did she do?
She... went to the Oktoberfest, dressed in kind of a Bavarian girl costume.
A slutty Bavarian girl costume, like a Halloween costume.
Like a Halloween costume, yeah. To promote her brand of canned Prosecco called Rich. And she's banned because of the general kind of like displeasement of like selling out or having celebrities be there to be selling something, to be a giant ad for something. Cause the whole fair and the whole like Oktoberfest is to celebrate Bavaria and German traditions, not a platform for you to sell your canned. I mean, they already don't like canned beer. They're not going to like your canned wine. Okay.
All right.
Here's a guesstimate question. Closest to. What percent of the visitors of Oktoberfest are not from Germany?
Ooh.
What percent are not from Germany?
I could see this being like a big sort of like all the foreign tourists come for this, but the German people are just like, I'll just drink beer at home. So I don't know.
Okay.
So closest to out of 100 possible answers. Well, actually 101 if you count zero. Right.
Okay.
That is true.
Yeah.
So what percent of the visitors are not from Germany? Chris says 68%.
Dana says
78%.
This is going to be tight.
19%.
That's it? So it's mostly Germans.
19%. It is almost all local affair. Like,
wow.
Or people from other parts of outside Germany. Of Bavaria and Germany come in and, you know, they just go there every day.
Okay.
They bring their whole family. Like, kids are allowed at Oktoberfest. They even have a lost and found kids station, yeah. Which makes perfect sense.
Which is highly popular. Yeah. So many.
Yep. I mean, because it's also like a fairground. They have like rides and you know, it's
probably not only drinking when you're there.
Right. And all the rides are operated by drunk people, which is really...
It makes it better.
Yeah, more fun.
And last question. What famous scientist worked as an electrician at Oktoberfest in 1896? That's a lot of clues.
It's a lot, but I'm probably still going to get it wrong.
Here we go. Answer's up. Last one. Chris says Tesla.
That's a good answer.
Dana says Albert Einstein.
I was like, I don't even think he was alive then, but Tesla's not
a good... It is Albert Einstein.
Yay.
All right.
He used to be an electrician to set up all the tents there.
Wow. Okay.
I was so tentative
about whether or not he was alive. Right. I saw Tesla. I was like, he was.
And his name means one Stein.
Oh my God.
Should we get him two drinks? No. He only needs one.
Just the one.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. Good job, you guys.
Yeah.
I totally forgot during my Leaf segment from earlier in the show that you may remember.
Yes. happened 20 minutes ago.
To restate, just for the record, the word that means a tree that the leaves fall off of.
Yeah.
Do you guys know it?
Oh, so it's...
There's evergreen, which is like a Christmas tree or fir tree, right?
Where the leaves never fall off.
Yeah. What is the one where the leaves fall off?
Deciduous?
Deciduous is the word.
Precipice.
And that does come from the Latin for to fall. That's the thing Chris forgot from the previous segment of our show. Now I have a trivia question for you.
Okay.
This is definitely a question that we could get on Pub Quiz.
Okay.
And I'm going to need you guys to, well, I know the answer, so we can get it right. But.
All right.
If it came down to
it. If somebody asked
you this question, you might get this question on your Pub Quiz listener at home. You're going to want to know this. Here is the question. If you go to Starbucks coffee and you order a pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah.
Is there pumpkin in the pumpkin spice latte? Dun, dun, dun.
Right now?
All right.
Yeah. If you go today, October 2016, and you ordered a pumpkin spice latte and they gave it to you and you drank it. Have you just consumed any pumpkin?
So I think at one point there was.
No, you guys can discuss it if you want to.
They changed it.
Yeah.
It used to just be spice. And I think all the organic or all the natural hoopla, they had to cut down on artificial flavoring. And I think they did add.
I think the opposite. Like it did have it. And then they took
it away.
I don't know. It comes
like
from a powder.
In a good job, brain.
This is exactly what it's like in trivia.
I mean, they might have natural flavorings.
They changed it in 2015, but what did they change it to?
I think they
added it in. I think too much hoopla about like good eating and companies buckling down to the pressures of like, you know, no artificial stuff.
I think they took it out. What's the answer?
Let's find out. The answer is Karen is correct. They put it in. It's pumpkin spice latte, the popular fall beverage served at Starbucks for a limited time. Did not have any pumpkin in it. The idea was it was pumpkin spice. the sort of spice that you put in a pumpkin pie. But yes, due to people sort of making some noise online about how there's not even any pumpkin in a pumpkin spice latte.
They were like, okay.
And also that it used caramel coloring, which... for good or for ill, had got this reputation of, you know, being bad for you. Starbucks reformulated the drink in 2015, took out the caramel coloring, and put in pumpkin puree.
Okay.
And
how
so it
much
is made,
of it?
There is a, there, no, it's, trace. It's the, yeah, it's yeah, no, not trace elements, but like, you know, there is a, they a call pumpkin. It a sauce.
Okay.
Pumpkin sauce.
Okay.
And like that plus your milk plus your coffee is the pumpkin spice.
Have you had one yet?
And that pumpkin spice, I have not had one this season. I wonder how the flavor is.
Yeah, I have not had one since the change.
I haven't had one in a long time.
Me too.
Yeah.
No, I very rarely get the sort of sugar bomb Starbucks stuff. But incredibly popular. So let's talk about pumpkin spice. The pumpkin spice lattes, the pumpkin spice, the pumpkins, all that kind of stuff. So around 2003...
Mm-hmm.
Starbucks looked at the success of seasonal drinks that it had, like the eggnog latte.
That's my favorite.
That is my favorite.
That is good.
And the peppermint mocha. Maybe you like this. I don't know. And they were like, well, you know, we're having these success with these seasonal drinks in the winter. What if we had a seasonal drink in the fall? The fall is cold.
Yeah.
Oh, those are winter.
Those are winter.
Yeah.
Those are holiday.
Yeah.
So they do some focus tests. And they find out that when they kind of focus test a whole lot of different flavors, people liked chocolate. And they liked caramel. And the pumpkin pie flavored coffee.
People were like,
It was not like on the low end, but it was in like the middle.
Okay.
It was like, this is all right.
Yeah.
So Starbucks ended up going with the pumpkin pie flavored coffee.
Because you can add chocolate to anything in Starbucks anyways.
Or because they kind of looked at the market and they were like, you know what? There's nothing out there that is like pumpkin related.
That's
like,
true.
There's not a lot really happening in the pumpkin area in 2003. Yeah.
So, I agree. Yes, but they had the chai tea latte.
Yes.
Which is very spicy, like a pumpkin.
Right.
And I could see them being like, oh, this is in the chai neighborhood, but a coffee.
Yeah, and that is very similar with the spices and the cloves and the allspice and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And the sweetness. Yeah. They kind of realized like we have this sort of free and open market
untapped on
the pumpkin flavored, coffee genre. So let's go ahead and do that. And of course it is, very thematically appropriate to the fall.
Yeah.
And you might wonder, Chris, why is that if you don't live in America? A lot of our listeners are international, and I'll tell you, when I start looking up, facts and figures about pumpkin spice latte, a lot of the articles are aimed at people in the UK and Australia who are like, why do Americans
love this stuff?
Go so wacko for pumpkin spice? Why are they putting squash in like their coffee?
Bored. Why?
It doesn't make any
sense.
It's
crazy.
Yeah. We'll get to that. Pumpkin is a kind of squash. By the way, they almost called it the fall harvest latte.
No.
No.
It sounds like leaves. Like it's just a bunch of leaves.
You're right. You're right. Yeah. It sounds like leaves in your coffee. Yep. That's in reference, by the way, Karen, to the way the leaves fall off the trees. So, pumpkin. Yeah, it's a kind of squash. Here's something real interesting. Libby's Pumpkin, it's a subsidiary of Nestle. They do about 80 to 90% of the canned pumpkin business. In America.
Wow.
Which is most of it is around this time of year.
Wow.
Because Thanksgiving, pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
If you look at the can, it says made from Libby's Select Pumpkins.
Okay.
That is not just a little marketing line. They have their own proprietary varietal of pumpkin that they bought. And it is called Libby Select Pumpkins.
Like the strain or like the brand.
Yeah.
Technically, it's a type of Dickinson pumpkin. And the weird part about this is if you look at Libby Select Pumpkins, they do not look like the orange, round, carving jack-o'-lantern pumpkin.
What do they look like?
So, I'm not going
to... I imagine they look like a water balloon full of pumpkin goop.
You are not very far off.
Yeah.
They are more oblong. They're a little taller. The skin on them is tan to beige.
Okay.
They really, sometimes they can be orangey.
They look like a
grocery store pumpkin.
No, they look like a bad pumpkin.
Yeah, they sell them at the grocery store, they're not the Halloween pumpkin.
Right, exactly. Now, this has led to an urban myth started going around this year that, there's no pumpkin in canned pumpkin. It's all squash. It's like, well, pumpkin is squash.
Yeah.
But these are pumpkins. They are bred not to look like jack-o'-lanterns. They are bred to be full of delicious pumpkin flesh.
Less seed, more meat.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well,
more
so it makes
meat,
sense.
Tastier, they taste good.
They kind of look like a ding-dong. And it's mostly it's like citron. You know, the fruit citron. It's different than a lemon, and they're bred to have so much more rind than flesh, because they use that for the oil for candles and citronella and all that stuff.
So
it's the same. This is bred for flesh, not
same
for
idea.
Seeds. Or volume, I guess.
No. But they are very much pumpkins. It's just that your personal definition of pumpkin is
strongly
narrow. Yeah, it shouldn't be that specific.
Yeah.
But again, why, think our foreign listeners, are you guys
Americans
so nuts about pumpkins and you put it in your coffee? Well, if you search for pumpkin spice nostalgia on Google, you get 688,000 results. It is this aroma of the spices that they put into pumpkin pie is so fundamental to like American nostalgia. It is a, you know, Thanksgiving is a time of going home and being with your family.
And
this
out.
Smell is very much all around Thanksgiving. The pumpkins get harvested at harvest time. You eat them at Thanksgiving. Like that is just this, this core nostalgic memory for anybody who lives in America.
Those air fresheners are my mom's jam.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and they have been since before 2003. I know.
Well, pumpkin, hey, the smell
that
of,
smell, that smell is.
And that smell of pumpkin spice goes back to the beginning of America. American Cookery by Amelia Simmons, which was written
the
1700s-ish. First known cookbook written by an American, a person living in America. And it basically, it, if you look at this book that, you know, scholars look at it, it really takes the old British recipes and then it uses the ingredients that are available
like
in America to make, So it's like, oh, this stuff is made with corn and not oats, that sort of thing, maize. It has the first recipe for turkey with cranberries.
Nice.
You know, because it was published in Hartford, Connecticut. She was Amelia Simmons was probably a New Englander, but leaf peeping probably. and she has a recipe in this book for pumpkin pudding, which is basically like pumpkin pie.
And it's
pumpkin that is spiced with ginger and nutmeg and another variety of the recipe, all spiced. Major spices are cloves, cinnamon, ginger, nutmeg, and then possibly allspice.
Yeah.
And so, again...
Which is its own plant.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Allspice is not...
It's not every
not
spice.
Not mixed spice. Et cetera spice.
It's technically one spice.
It was in 1934 that the company McCormick, the spice company McCormick, introduced the pumpkin spice.
Oh.
It's a blend of... So it just has all the spices that you need, all the four basic spices all together.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I'd like to close out by saying... Now that the pumpkin spice latte has become so popular, pumpkin spice everything is now trend in America. I went to Target.com and just searched for pumpkin spice.
Oh, interesting. Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Here are just some of the products that I found on Target that are available right now to order. This is all, I'm not making any of this up.
Okay.
Any of it. Pumpkin spice Cheerios.
Okay.
That sounds delicious.
Probably.
Yeah.
Pumpkin spice Halloween costume. It's like
you smell like
it's
it,
like
or?
Sexy pumpkin.
Okay,
pumpkin spice, like spice.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Pumpkin spice fudge stripes.
Oh, Keebler's elves.
It's gonna get weirder. Pumpkin spice trail mix.
Okay,
that sounds delicious. Too.
Pumpkin spice pretzels.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah.
Pumpkin spice Eggos.
Sure.
Pumpkin spice Greek yogurt. These are all products that are currently purchasable.
It depends on
very
the,
traditional
how pumpkiny it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, only if there's like granola to make it.
Yeah.
Pumpkin spice Lindor truffles.
Yeah.
Probably good.
Pumpkin spice chili seasoning.
Chili already has a lot of warming spices.
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of want to have some.
Yeah.
I'll try it.
Pumpkin spice lip balm.
Okay, I have some in my purse right now.
All right.
It's disgusting.
And finally, this sounds like a Chris Kohler joke, but this is actually real. Will Shorts presents Pumpkin Spice Sudoku, a book.
Nice. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. Karen, I hope you enjoy that pumpkin spice.
Well, I have an additional one little tidbit about pumpkin spice, or pumpkin, or Halloween-y. Probably a lot of you guys saw in the headlines, McDonald's. In Japan, released pumpkin choco potato.
Yes.
What?
It is classic French fries.
They'd already done chocolate French fries.
Yeah, choco potatoes already exist.
Coated in chocolate? What is
it? No, it's you they give you a little sauce packet that you open up and you drizzle chocolate sauce on the fries yourself.
It's
like, just good.
It's dipping
salty,
your fries in the frosting.
And
now
it's chocolate and pumpkin. So it's like orange and black and Halloween.
I wonder what it tastes like if it's good.
French fries
and chocolate are good.
Yeah,
I'm curious about the pumpkin spice.
So yeah, the orange part is pumpkin spiced.
One day, McDonald's Japan will sell a regular hamburger again. And they'll be like, oh, new innovative.
What is this?
We didn't put any crazy
There's no weird colors.
Yeah.
So this made me think. I was like, So I don't know about nationwide, but at least in the Bay Area, we just got Gilroy garlic fries
at McDonald's.
McDonald's. Right. I don't know if that's nationwide.
I don't think so.
So it made me think, what other cultures, what other McDonald's in other countries put stuff on fries? So Japan already has done chocolate without the pumpkin. They also have like a cheese sauce in the same way. And the packet is a little bit different. You like open it and it has a couple of spigots and then it kind of does a drizzle.
Oh.
It's not like a one flimsy ketchup packet.
Yeah.
To do it.
When you get the multiple spigots,
you can do long
advanced technology.
Ribbons. Yeah.
Calligraphy. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. However, I found one country's McDonald's that really go nuts with their fry topping. Australia. Yeah. Australia. Here are some of the things they put on top of their fries.
Okay.
So they have a chipotle cheese sauce.
Okay.
Gravy. Peri-peri, which is gravy. Kind of a chili. Chili cheese sauce. Pesto mayo. And Parmesan. Curry sauce. Caesar sauce. Bacon and Parmesan sauce. And guacamole.
Wait, all of these sauces? Or
no,
you
these are
pick
all flavors. Yeah,
it,
these are all like low, like, yeah.
Yeah.
You can get fries and they just put a big thing of guacamole.
Oh, so you know they're into kebab shops. At kebab shops, you can get fries with all sorts of stuff on it. You can get the kebab meat and the sauce and the lettuce and all that. And make like
fries is a big deal. And then
Mickey D's does it.
I went to the official Australian McDonald's website just to see what other cool stuff they have. Man, we really get the crappy end of the stick when it comes to McDonald's.
Basic.
Like all of these other McDonald's have really cool stuff. McSpider.
What?
McSpider.
I don't think I want that. No, thank you.
I don't know why it's called McSpider.
It's just a big spider. Yeah.
So it's slushy. It's whatever, like soda slushy, like icy.
Uh-huh.
And then vanilla soft serve on top.
Okay.
So it's almost like a float. I don't know why it's called McSpider. I should look that up. They have toasties in the morning.
Oh,
it's like just breakfast sandwiches,
but with
thick toast. Brekkie.
Did you see? So
fancier in other places.
See, McDonald's in Japan, they had a pudding burger.
Wait, is it a meat pudding or a?
No, it's like it's a burger with like a flan type thing on the burger.
It's a hamburger.
Yeah.
With flan.
Yeah. Barbecue pom-pom pudding burger.
Oh, based on the Sanrio character.
Based on, I believe. Pom-pom pudding?
Pom-pirin. Yeah.
Yes, so pom-pom pudding.
He's the pudding dog.
The pudding dog from Sanrio has his own McDonald's menu right now, which has a regular burger with pom-pom pudding on the bun, a McFlurry pom-pom pudding, his own chicken nugget sauce, and then finally the...
This is amazing!
Barbecue pom-pom pudding baga, which is literally...
Oh my god, there is a flan in the burger.
There's a flan
in the
burger.
Is it like squishy?
Here, look.
It looks firm.
It does look firm.
It looks like an egg. Yeah, it looks like
oh, you know, the egg McMuffins and the eggs are very cylindrical and firm.
Right.
It looks
like that. Yeah, because they steam them in a round.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
You dip your nugs in flan. This is amazing.
That sounds tasty, actually.
I know.
Yeah. That's a cute character.
It's my favorite.
Pudding is real cute.
He has a like our Billy the Beaver. Pom-pom Pirin also has a star butthole.
Oh yes.
Yes.
Yeah. They love their buttholes on their mascots in Japan.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
All right, well, usually, sometimes our last segment is a non-topic quiz.
Uh-huh.
And we talked a lot about fall stuff. I have just a word quiz.
Okay.
A little vocabulary quiz going back to our quizzy word nerd roots. Uh-huh. And I've done this quiz before. Enormnid lapse, which is palindrome spelled backwards. These are words where they're words, and when you reverse spell them, mm-hmm.
It's another word.
It's another word. Got it's not it. The same word. A palindrome is the same way right. back and forth.
It would be a palindrome if you put them next to each other.
Next to each other. So what I'm going to do is give you a clue, kind of like a crossword clue, and the answer is a two-word phrase that's basically reverse spelling pairs of words.
Sure.
So for example, I think when I last did this quiz, I had a Anubis is a, and a dog. So these are reverse spelling pairs of words. And, cool. And hopefully I have good clues to help you get there. And they're all pretty short in order to make it happen. So here we go. First one, and please buzz in with your barnyard buzzers. First clue. Fervent opera singer.
Oh.
Chris.
Avid diva.
Yeah.
Correct. Rodman did a bad thing. Wow.
Dennis sinned.
Correct.
Oh.
Remy, Splinter, and Rizzo.
Star Rats.
Yes!
Ooh!
Yes, Remy from Ratatouille, Splinter from Ninja Turtles, and Rizzo the Rat from Muppets. Real chic-looking parts underneath boats.
Oh.
Chris.
No. Sorry.
Dana.
Ten net?
Wait, okay.
Like
real chic-looking parts underneath boats.
No.
The answer is sleek keels.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Keels.
Keel
haul. Sleek keels.
I was just like...
What are sailing turtles?
No.
Okay. This one is a funny one. Rudely ignore butts.
Rudely ignore butts.
Snub buns.
Yes! Yeah! Okay. A separate room to make pictures.
Make pictures.
Dana.
Draw ward?
Correct. Yes. Correct. Mm. All right. All right. This one's a long clue. Some of these are kind of clunky. I apologize.
It's okay.
Hopefully sleeping in a barn won't give you these weird skin bumps. Hopefully sleeping in a barn won't give you these weird skin bumps.
Thinking.
Think skin bumps.
Yeah.
Yes.
What is a weird skin growth?
Oh. Dana. Straw warts.
Correct. Straw warts. Let's do one last one. Purchased a baby supply twice.
Oh.
Chris.
Repaid diaper.
Correct. Nice. All right. That's good job, you guys.
Woo.
Yeah. No stun nuts for this one.
No stun nuts.
It took you guys a long time for
no stop pots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also found out that test tube butt set is a palindrome.
Test tube butt set.
A set of test tube butts.
Butts.
Yeah. Well, good job, you guys.
Had a hard time writing the clue for that one.
Yeah. That's why I was just like, I'm just going to tell you guys.
Yeah.
All right. And that is our show. Woo.
Hey.
Thank you guys for joining me. Thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. I promise Colin will be back next weekend.
Holding a bag of poop.
Guys, I brought it back.
Away.
Souvenir.
Carried it out.
And you can find our show on iTunes, on Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And we'll see you guys next week, hopefully.
Yeah.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Neil.
And I'm Ken.
And we are from the Triviality Podcast, a pub trivia-style game show where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Join us each week for an hour-long game of general knowledge trivia featuring special guests from around the world, plus tons of extra themed episodes.
If you want to improve your trivia game,
or you just want to scream at us in your car when we get easy questions wrong,
then we're the show for you. Find Triviality on all your favorite podcast apps.
But you know that because you're already listening to a podcast.